Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
Hello, everybody. It's your boy, Mags, and I am back with another episode of the 5 Rounds podcast, the only podcast out there with the cardio for those deep water championship rounds. Yeah, and I've literally just finished watching UFC 270, the first numbered pay-per-view event of 2022, headlined by double title matches with Brandon Moreno defending his flyweight title against Davison Figueiredo, and Francis Ngannou, the heavyweight champion of the world, taking on Cyril Gagne, the interim heavyweight champion of the world. Before we get into the main card, let's quickly go through these prelims. Some really good fights on these earlier and televised prelims. So we started the night with Kay Hansen, unfortunately losing the decision to Jasmine Jazu Davisius. And then in the women's strawweight division, we saw Vanessa Dempaulos picking up the submission over Silvania Gomez Suarez. Going into the feature prelims, I opened the card with Matt Frivola getting the first round KO over Gennaro Valdez in the lightweight division. Dropped down to the bantamweights where we saw Tony Gravely get the decision against Simon Oliveira. Up to the welterweights where Jack Della Maddalena got the first round knockout of Pete Rodriguez. And then the feature prelim, we saw Victor Henry get the decision over Rione Barcelos. A really good fight there. So going into the main card, five fights on this main card. Opened up in the welterweight division. Trevin Giles taking on Michael Morales, making his UFC debut. Only 22 years old, Michael Morales. And it looked like it was going to be a very worrying day at the office for Michael. Trevin started with a quick low kick, followed up very quickly with a second one, then a third, and it looked like we were seeing a fighter who was a little bit out of his depth. We'd see Trevin Giles rock Morales with a big overhead punch. We get some clinching up against the cage, and we see Giles really kind of forcing the game, able to get the fight to the floor, going for the arm triangle, and it looked like it was very, very close to finishing. Morales seconds away from tapping, but is able to roll to the top position. The submission was still locked in, but eventually Trevin realized that maybe it was not right to keep controlling the arm and to try and press for another submission. Morales is able to get free, almost falls into an arm bar before we actually get scrambled back to the feet. And then Morales kind of takes a bit of time to refresh and reset, lands a good couple of low kicks. Giles still trying to pop out with that jab. Morales goes for a massive haymaker, but lands a jab on the way through, and then a counter right. Giles is really been tagged with that right. Goes for a big swing. Morales is able to duck and land clean, sending Giles to the floor. Morales just absolutely lays into him with the ground and pound. It took Matt Belton quite a long time to jump in and stop this fight. Giles was in a hell of a lot of trouble. Debut for Michael Morales, 22 years old, and picking up the victory against a wily veteran in Trevin Giles. So a great victory for him. Well played to Mr. Michael Morales. Certainly going to be someone who can make a name for himself in this division. So up next we have Saeed Nurmagomedov taking on Cody Stamann in the bantamweight division. Obviously Nurmagomedov with the links to Habib, not actually related to Khabib, but certainly one of those dangerous Dagestani fighters. And quite a cool little throwback. One of the referee in this fight was actually former UFC fighter Frank Trigg. So something that that Dan Hardy certainly has pushed for, the use of former fighters as officials and as judges. So props to Frank Trigg for moving into the referee game. Didn't really have a lot of work to do, to be fair. We saw Cody Stamann trying to start this fight pretty quickly, trying to control the centre of the octagon. But instantly, Saeed is able to land a decent right hand and then a spin kick to the body, able to weather the quick takedown from Cody Stamann, and he's actually able to turn that into a guillotine choke, which, once you start trying to wrestle with these Dagestani fighters, you need to know exactly what you're doing. You have to be very, very aware of yourself 100% of the time. Unfortunately for Cody Stamann, he instantly made a mistake, left his neck wide open for Saeed to grab for the guillotine, able to lock it in tight, adjust the power, pulls the fight to the ground, and Cody Stamann is trapped, and within less than a minute, Saeed Nurmagomedov has picked off a huge victory. Being very kind of a slow and methodical in his UFC rise up to date, but this is a massive, massive victory and really kind of a statement in that bantamweight division, and certainly will put Saeed in the name for potentially a ranking over the next couple of weeks, and even a top 10 fighter. So great victory there for Saeed Nurmagomedov. So in the middle of this five main card, the first decision, and actually all the rest of the fights actually went to the judges' decision. This was Andre Filho making his debut here, welterweight, a young guy from Portugal, taking on Michel Pereira. Michel, kind of the one of those crazy dynamic fighters who you just cannot pin down. He's got himself into a really good kind of win streak and looking to push himself into a potential top five, top ten fight. Starts off pretty cagey, to be fair. The dichotomy of these two fighting styles. You've got Pereira, who is dynamic, and you can almost that capoeira style of coming in, landing his shots and getting out of range. Just the way his attacks can come from anywhere. And then you've got Andre Fiello, who was very professional, very kind of efficient with his moves, hands up in front of his face, only throwing shots when it was more than likely that he would land them, causing good damage with those shots, where Pereira throws a hell of a lot of stuff, whiffs on a hell of a lot of stuff, but it's the angles that he comes from, and it's the output that he throws that is so hard to pin down and so hard to judge. Fiello did really well in this first round of sticking to his own game plan and not being drawn into reacting to Pereira, and allowing Pereira to essentially throw these crazy strikes, avoid a lot of them, but let Pereira gas. And that's been a severe issue with Pereira's career so far in the UFC, that he does gas himself out and uses up so much energy with these flashy, over-the-top attacks that he really leaves himself open to some classic MMA fighting, some classic grappling and strikes. In this first round, Fiallo had a perfect game plan, was able to keep it nice and tight, keep it nice and neat, control the middle of the octagon, do well to keep Pereira having to move, and instead of reacting to it, he was almost dictating to Pereira where he was going to go, moving left and right. And when he threw his shots, those shots hurt Pereira quite a lot. There was a big left hand in the middle of the fight from Fiallo that busts up Pereira's nose. But this is a Pereira who it's hard to keep him under control, and he was still able to land some shots of his own, land some jabs, attempted the flying knees, attempted the capoeira overhead kicks. We see Pereira attempt to take down there at the end of the round. It ends up with him slipping, and Fiallo ends up on top of the round to finish. A good first round for Fiallo in the UFC, and really a lot for him to build off. But unfortunately, when we come to the second and third round, we see Pereira kind of almost, I want to say, mixed up. It was still that dynamic, crazy fighter who you can't pigeonhole him, but he certainly realised that he was gassing, and he was more conservative with the amount of shots he threw, landing some really big shots and making sure that his accuracy was a little bit more on target. In this second round, the one thing that he did miss a lot of was the flying knees. He attempted them quite a few times. He also missed on that rolling thunder kind of capoeira kick, but he did land some big shots to the body, and the front kick right up the middle to the stomach was a killer for Pereira. Really put Fiallo on the back foot to the point where he abandoned his strategy of walking Pereira down and picking off his shots to the point where he started to play into Pereira's game and reacting to Pereira's shots rather than forcing his own game plan. And that's where Pereira really took charge, was able to follow up a whiffed Superman punch to get Pereira up against the cage and get some ground and pound. Pereira then gets a last minute takedown, and as we finish the round, Fiallo is absolutely worn out, just sat against the cage. His team pull him up and lean him over the edge of the cage, and he's just energyless. You can really see it. And what makes more of a difference is the fact that he's now got a huge cut over his left eye. Ironically, going into this third round, knowing the history of Michel Pereira, he's actually the more fresher of the fighters. Fiallo is sucking up a hell of a lot of oxygen. One thing about Michel Pereira is, whilst he's crazy in the octagon, he is very respectful, and we actually start this round with a hug between the two. You can see that this is a big moment for Andre Fiallo, and he's been there before, where he's had his opportunities to be in the UFC and make his debut, and how much it means to somebody. But unfortunately, Fiallo, he kind of fell into the same problems that he had in the second round, where he walked away from the game plan that worked so well in the first round of just not reacting to Pereira, and instead he was second best to a lot of the shots. He landed a couple of good jabs of his own, but the majority of time it was Pereira hitting him back with 4, 5, 6 jabs, then mixing in the leg kicks and the body kicks. It was really kind of a struggling for Fiallo to make a dent in Pereira's attack. The right hand was working wonders for Pereira. We do see that front kick being worked to great effect again by Michel Pereira, to the point where Fiallo's stomach area was bright red, where he'd taken toe shot after toe shot in the stomach. We get a little bit of a breaking action where one of those shots was just a little bit too low. The toes do land and hit deep into the stomach of Fiallo, but the heel does graze the cup of Fiallo, and we get a couple of minutes break. before we get the restart. Once we get that restart, with about 30 seconds to go, it just is hell for leather. Both guys just absolutely sat in the pocket, just punching, throwing absolute bombs. Not really a lot landing, but it was a very entertaining end to a very entertaining fight. Michelle Pereira picking up the victory, all three judges pretty much going the exact same way, with 29-28 to Pereira. And I think, in fact, all the judges gave those second and third rounds to Pereira. So, great first start for Andre Fialo. There's plenty there for him to build upon here. Shouldn't be too disheartened, because Michelle is a fighter who is able to make other fighters look like absolute clowns. So to be able to, first of all, last in there with him for 50 minutes and also give a really good kind of a showing of yourself, there's definitely a lot for Andre Fialo to build on. I'm interested to see where he goes in the future. But this was Michelle's day, and he'll be certainly looking for another top 10 or even a top 5 fighter after this good victory for him. So let's get into the co-main event, first of our two title matches. And these two guys have gone around the horn with each other so many times. Brandon Moreno and Davison Figueiredo fighting over the flyweight title yet again. Third fight in a row for these two against each other. I think that's the first time in UFC history that that's happened, that two fighters have faced each other three times in a row. And I also believe it's the quickest trilogy in UFC history, with the turnaround from the first fight to the third fight being just over a year, I think 408 days, which is just shows how intertwined these two guys have come. Obviously, the first fight was coming off Figueiredo winning the flyweight title against Joseph Benavidez, then getting the draw against Brandon Moreno. Then in the second fight, we got that submission victory for Brandon. And then in this third fight, obviously it was for all the marbles and the flyweight title, and Davison Figueiredo able to squeak out a decision victory, but this fight was just absolutely glorious. Both a lot of bad blood, especially coming from Figueiredo's camp. He's been training with Henry Cejudo, and he called Brandon Moreno a traitor because of some issues that went on when Moreno was training with Cejudo, and then he switched teams. All kind of very schoolyard tactics, but it led to a lot of passion in this fight. This was such a tight fight. I would not be surprised if other people have got this fight totally in the way of Brandon Moreno, and these two have really, really shown that they are head and shoulders above everybody else in this division. There is Moreno and Figueiredo, and then there's everybody else. From the first round, it was quite a nervy start. It took a little bit of time for the action to kick in. Some testing low kicks from Figueiredo, who almost kind of stumbles to the ground with one of them. Eventually ends up getting the clinch with Moreno able to get the control, but Figueiredo getting those underhooks. Goes for to sweep to the floor. But Moreno is quickly back up, which leads to another big low kick from Figueiredo. Moreno starts opening up with the shots, with the punches, but he's fired back with the kicks from Figueiredo, really kind of working those legs very early in this first round. We get Figueiredo going for the takedown. He's able to get the back and drive Figueiredo down to his knees. But it's not long on the floor, and we see Moreno able to scramble back up. He's starting to load up on some big punches, but he's not able to land some clean ones. And Figueiredo goes back to that low kick well. Brandon Reynolds goes for a spinning low kick, which whiffs just a little bit, and then Figueiredo opens up with a couple of punches to close the round, kick to the body. Like I said, very tight first round, but I think the wrestling attempts from Figueiredo kind of set him a little bit above Moreno. Coming for the second round, we see that Moreno he's on the ball in landing some good jabs. Figueiredo goes for the takedown, but Moreno is able to stuff that and back it up. And this is a much more relaxed Brandon Moreno than we saw in that first round. He's able to avoid a lot more of the leg kicks, although some of them still do get through, and Davison does make a mess of the calves of Brandon Moreno, but we see Brandon countering with a lot more of his punches. Figueiredo decides to attack with some right hands, then another takedown, which again is stuffed. Figueiredo goes for some flashy spin kicks, which don't quite work, and that leaves him open to be taken down to the canvas. We see Figueiredo desperately trying to get back to the feet, and then we see them start to trade in punches. And now we see Brandon Moreno mix it up a little bit, start to land some more of those leg shots and chopping Davison Figueiredo. Front kick coming up the middle from Figueiredo. We see Moreno land some counter shots, which ends up cutting the nose of Figueiredo. Davison goes for this single leg. He's unable to pull it off, and then lets it go. And we see Moreno working the jab and some body shots, mixing in some more leg kicks. We see a huge right hand from Figueiredo, which really stings Moreno, but he hits back with a big shot of his own, which stings Figueiredo. Coming to the end of the round, we see another attempt at takedown by Figueiredo, which is stuffed, and we see more trading on the feet. And this was a kind of like a wake up call for Brandon Moreno. He started to really come into his own, and it was such a tight fight going into the third round. It was anybody's fight, really. Still, we needed someone to kind of take the impetus, and unfortunately that doesn't happen in the third round. It's again another very, very, very tight round with Figueiredo going back to what was working in the first two rounds with the leg kicks, with Moreno starting to open up his arsenal, like trying to land a running knee. But this leads to Figueiredo actually getting the takedown. Moreno is quickly on his knees, trying to get back to his feet, and is trying to pull away from Figueiredo's grip. We see the both fighters returning to what had been working with the low kicks, and then Figueiredo hits a big left hand that sees Moreno stumble to the floor. Moreno pops back up and lands a huge big shot of his own. Both guys were really starting to throw some bombs now, and both were starting to land. Figueiredo's mixes in shots with the body and the leg kicks. We see Figueiredo sweep Moreno to the floor, unable to keep him down there again though. Moreno doing another flying knee, landing a left hand. It was such an entertaining third round. We see both fighters trading some huge, huge shots. Moreno goes for a high kick, which is blocked, and we see Figueiredo drop him with a right hand in the final few seconds. Goes for the choke, but there's not enough time on the clock. The bell sounds, and Figueiredo pushes Moreno back to the floor as he walks off to his corner. Really, kind of a tempers very, very frayed in this, but. Figueiredo looking to really push on in this fight and take the lead. Fourth round though, he gets pinned back again. He starts again with those low kicks. We see him go for the takedown, which is stuffed. Moreno landing some low kicks of his own. Figueiredo tries to land that front kick to the body again. With Moreno, he hits the spinning low kick, lands a left hand. Figueroa is able to follow that up and counter with a stiff right and a stiff left to the body. Moreno hits Figueroa with some kicks in the body, pops the jab. We see a big left hand with Figueroa, which leads into the clinch. Figueroa gets control of the back, pushing Moreno up against the fence, landing some big knees. We see Moreno able to kind of spin out, start swinging some huge shots. We see Figueroa fire back some shots of his own. Moreno lands a good shot to the body, and then a kick to follow up. And they start trading more punches, and then we see a clinch again, and then we see Brandon Moreno push Figueroa to finish the round. So going into this fifth round, it's pretty much anyone's fight. You could easily have this fight score two rounds each, and making this last round very, very decisive. And again, this was still an incredibly tight round. We've got Figueroa with starting with the low kicks again. This time, Moreno is able to kind of avoid him a little bit. Moreno gets a takedown, a big, big point to score when you're going into a very tight fifth round. But Figueroa is able to get butterfly guard, gets some space, and is able to stand back up. Figueroa lands another low kick, but takes a big left to kind of counter it. Slips some big shots and goes for the takedown, but that is stuffed. Then we see both guys trading off with lefts and rights and jabs. Going into the last minute or so, this fight, and nobody's really took the impetus at all. It could literally just be anyone's fight. Big right hand from Figueroa. Moreno fires one back in reply. Figueroa is trying to press, but he's being countered at pretty much every single move. Trading of low kicks, getting into the last 30 seconds or so. Massive punches to close. We see Figueroa land a huge punch after the bell, not even. Connecting after the bell, thrown after the bell. For me personally, with the power of the shots, I thought Figueroa kind of took the fight more to Moreno in the fifth round. And the judges seem to agree, all three judges giving it a very tight 48-47 to Davison Figueroa. All kind of a bit of a mixture on which rounds they gave to which fighters, with Chris Crail and Michael Bell giving Figueroa rounds 1, 3, and 4, with Wade Vieira actually saying that he thought that Moreno won round 4, and he actually thought that Figueroa won round 5. For me, I thought that it went 1, 3, and 5 with the two guys essentially going tit for tat for the rounds, but Davison Figueroa regains that title, and instantly there were calls for a fourth fight. Figueroa saying that he wants to fight Brandon Moreno in Mexico. I mean, it could happen. There's no real clear challenges in that flyweight division right now, but the issue would be, when is enough? I think both guys could perhaps do with somebody else to focus on rather than this, and kind of refresh the palate almost, and maybe revisit this sometime down the line. I know you get the issue of then potential upsets and the fight not happening, but I think three fights in just over a year, pushing on to four fights in 18 months or so is a lot, and I think both guys could do with someone else to focus on for a little while. So but great victory for Davison Figueroa. Heartbreaking for Brandon Moreno, one of the most beloved champions that we've seen in a long, long time. Mexico's first ever UFC champion. The crowd in California were just absolutely wild for him. So he was a lot of love there. So yeah, I'm sure he'll be back in the title picture very, very soon though. So let's get on to this main event. A lot of bad blood in this one as well. Francis Ngannou and Cyril Gagne, both are heavyweight champions. Francis, the lineal champion, and Cyril Gagne, the interim champion. Former teammates. A lot of revelations coming out about who knocked who out in training and what had happened there. A lot of issues are surrounding the coach, Fernando Lopez. A lot of issues surrounding contract negotiations with UFC and the fact that there was even an interim title in the first place, with Francis only winning the title pretty recently off Stipe Miocic, and then almost instantly Dana wanting him to fight Black Beast Derek Lewis in Houston. Francis said he needed maybe a month or so to kind of to be prepared. Dana wasn't willing to wait, wanted the title on the line in Houston, creates the interim title, which he says he's not a fan of, but yet does it so many times anyway. Yeah, and it's a lot of convolution in this. And then we've seen Francis Ngannou really making a statement about fighter pay and if the fact he thinks that maybe the fighters aren't treated the way that they should be, looking to maybe renew a contract. I think this was actually the last fight on his contract. Obviously, with him being a champion, there's automatic rollovers. But he was saying he's sick of essentially fighting for scraps when he's seeing people entering the boxing world and making absolute millions and millions of dollars off it. So, yeah, a lot of interesting factors going into this fight. But this, if you go back to the press conference, this is probably the most respectful shit-talking you'll ever hear between two fighters. Both guys really, really respectful when they're dissing each other. Even respectful in the weigh-ins where they fist bumped, and in the beginning of the fight where they touch gloves. So let's get into it. Another fight that went to decision. Another fight that was pretty close on some of the scorecards, but it was certainly, I don't think it was as close as the co-main event. First round, we saw Cyril Gagne really calm and collected, certainly not fazed by the power of Francis Ngannou. Ngannou gets the control of the centre of the cage, and we see Gagne making the movements around the outside, but arms are down, he's very, very loose, switching stances quite a lot. Able to pop in quickly and land some shots. We get an attempt at a takedown very early on from Cyril Gagne, which is stuffed by Francis Ngannou. Cyril then attempts to push Francis up against the cage, but Ngannou is able to force that the disengagement. Ngannou seemed to land a low punch, almost hitting the cup of Cyril Gagne. No reaction from Cyril. It's not like he called for the fight to pause, and Herb Dean tells both guys that they have to fight on. But this was Cyril Gagne being a very calm and collected fighter, and Ngannou waiting for a moment to throw some big, big shots. Lands a couple of good shots to the body, but Cyril Gagne is able to follow them up with a beautiful spinning kick to the body, then some knees. Gagne is becoming almost overconfident, dropping his arms down and almost kind of goading Francis Ngannou into making a mistake. We see Ngannou press up Cyril up against the cage, able to land a big knee, but Cyril's able to switch it and escape the clinch. Ngannou lands a decent knee, followed by one from Cyril. He pulls away. Cyril lands a big front body kick to end the round. Close round. For me, I probably would have given it to Cyril Garnier just because he was more loose. He landed some neat shots, and this felt like Ngannou was waiting for a big hit rather than anything. Again, going into the second round, a lot of the similar kind of action. Cyril Garnier still very light on his feet, switching stances a lot, having his guard down pretty low, tapping away with little jabs and leg kicks. Ngannou tries for a huge uppercut, which whiffs, and Cyril is able to counter that with a side kick. Ngannou, one thing that he has learned from the switch to Extreme Couture is patience. If you recall Cyril Ngannou through his earlier UFC career, he would go in all guns blazing and kind of swarm fighters. Now he's more calm and collected and waits for an opportunity to present itself rather than go and attempt to create the opportunity with the risk of losing the position. In this second round, though, he does wait for those opportunities to come. Unfortunately, they don't really come. He whiffs on a couple more big shots. Big right hand misses. Garnier is able to slip that and hits a spinning heel kick which grazes the head of Francis Ngannou. Garnier then goes to the legs, and again he's getting really, really patient with his attack. Knows that if he makes one wrong move, Francis Ngannou is going to take the fight and really kind of hurt Cyril Garnier. And the last thing you want to do is get struck with a big shot from Francis Ngannou. He does land a big left kick to the body, which is followed up with a right hand from Garnier, again avoiding that huge uppercut. Another good round for Cyril Garnier. Not a lot in terms of action, but more in terms of frustrating Ngannou. Going into the third, Ngannou really needed to start pushing the pace now, because it could easily be two rounds to nil down. That being said, Ngannou can finish fights pretty much anywhere, but this is an unbeaten Cyril Garnier, who in his 3 years in MMA has risen to the absolute top of heavyweight MMA fighting. So it's a tall order for Ngannou to be able to get this victory now, and he's going to have to pull something out of the bag. And he pulls it out of the bag, all right. But let's get into the beginning of the third round. Ngannou certainly seems to be forcing the pace a little bit more now. Goes for more big left hands, which still do whiff. And we see Garnier switching stances again and moving around. Misses the high kick, which gives Ngannou the opportunity to get under the leg. Drives through the leg and gets a massive slamming takedown. Yes, Ngannou can wrestle. I mean, this is an Ngannou we have very rarely seen, and something that if he is able to get better at, this is a very frightening facet of Ngannou's game plan. So he gets side control. He's able to control Cyril Garnier on the floor. Attempts to get the knees. Threatens to get the neck. We see Garnier has to really kind of spin inside to avoid that. Eventually, we see them back on the feet, and we see Ngannou in the clinch with Cyril. Gets a trip. Cyril hits the canvas essentially face first, but the worrying point was when Cyril Garnier's arm was locked almost in a Kimura move whilst he was going down. Very, very tight submission attempt there by Ngannou, and we're seeing almost a Khabib Nurmagomedov style of attack from Ngannou, where he's able to really do some good wrestling on the floor. We do actually get back to our feet again with about a minute to go, and we see Ngannou avoiding a spinning elbow. We see Cyril Gagne going for kicks to the body. Ngannou gets another takedown just as we get into the end of the round. Gagne does try to get the armbar, which he just is not able to do. Yeah, so we're seeing a new facet to Francis Ngannou's fight game, and yeah, he really leans into that into the next two rounds. So going into the fourth, Cyril Gagne knows he has to up his game now, because this isn't just a Francis Ngannou who's good on the feet. He's also been working on the floor. We see Gagne throwing those tickling leg kicks and popping those jabs. Ngannou throws a spinning body kick. Gagne follows that up with a front kick. We see Ngannou swarm Cyril Gagne and wraps his body up, tries to take the fight to the cage, but Ngannou is just too strong and is able to just muscle Cyril Gagne down to the floor. Gagne tries to grab the wrist and get out. He eventually gets to a knee, but he exposes his back, and we see Francis Ngannou almost look for a choke. Cyril Gagne is able to scramble to his feet, but Francis is looking for more and more takedowns again. Cyril Gagne goes for the Kimura grip. Ngannou follows that up by pushing him down to the canvas again, leaning on him, trying to posture up, and this gives Cyril Gagne the opportunity to make his way back to the cage. But we see Francis landing a big knee to the body, and he's able to control the positioning, landing a few punches, and levelling up this fight going into the fifth round. We see the wrestling, and it's such a mindfuck to say, we see the wrestling of Francis Ngannou dominating Cyril Gagne. So we go into this fifth round, and kind of like the core main event, this fifth round was for all of the marbles. Everything that both these guys have worked for comes down to this. We see Ngannou going for a jab. We see Cyril Gagne follow that up with an elbow and a jab of his own, kick to the body. Ngannou faking a takedown to land some shots, which causes Cyril Gagne to complain of an eye poke. We see a nice combination from Cyril Gagne, and he's clearly not worn out. He goes for the single leg. He's able to get the takedown, which is a big, big move. Cyril on top, and Ngannou is really struggling, kind of almost like if he's on the bottom, his wrestling is very, very basic. But he's able to attempt to sweep. Cyril Gagne tries to focus on the leg and get the leg lock. Both guys are attempting a leg lock at exactly the same time. And Cyril's looks really, really tight. And I honestly thought we're going to see Ngannou have to tap out to this. The ankle and the knee were pointed in opposite directions. It looked pretty brutal. But Cyril's concentration on that allowed Ngannou to get to top position, which is, it was just mind-blowing watching this happen. A 270-pound bloke just able to wrestle like a lightweight. Ngannou gets on top. Cyril goes for the heel hook again, but Ngannou has really been focusing on that wrestling and is able to get the knee above the ankle, so the pressure is not on. rolls back up on top, gets a step over Mount. Cyril Gagne tries to avoid that, but ends up with his arm trapped. Once he gets that free, he's able to turn onto his hips. We see with a minute to go, Cyril Gagne is sat on the octagon floor, and Ngannou is controlling the wrist to keep him down there. Cyril tries to grab the neck and tries to go for the Kimura. Getting into the final few seconds, Francis Ngannou's landing little point scoring shots. And had so much top control, and a graphic shows up on the screen that in the fight he had almost 6 minutes of control over the 25 minutes, which is just marbling. A fighter with 20 farts in the bag, and I've never seen him wrestle the way he did. The score goes to the judges. And all three judges gave it to Francis Ngannou. Two of the judges, 48-47. One judge, Sal D'Amato, giving Francis Ngannou four rounds to one. And Francis comes away as the undisputed heavyweight champion of the world. An interesting post-fight interview with him, saying, essentially showing a lot of respect to Cyril, and saying hopefully his future plans for the company, and I'm sure Dana White will want him in the office very, very soon to thrash out a new contract. But hopefully Francis uses the momentum he's got now to really push for fairer fighter pay. He's got a huge voice in the UFC, and now he seems to have all of the leverage. So hopefully he's able to not only get a better deal for himself, but get a better deal for fighters in general, because there's been a lot of smoke and talk about UFC and how they pay their fighters over the last few weeks. And it'll be interesting to see what comes of that afterwards. But yeah, essentially that is UFC 270 in the bag. Great card, really, really enjoyable. No UFC next week. The next time we are in action is Sunday the 6th of February, where we will see Jack Hermansson taking on Shane Strickland in the main event. We also see Marc-Andre Barrio returning to take on Chidi Jacane, Hakeem Dawodu taking on Mike Trezano. So some big fights coming up. So keep your ears tuned to Five Rounds to hear the latest and greatest analysis of UFC events. Whilst you are here, definitely go and check out some more of the content from the amazing networks that we are proud to be a part of. So that's here at Chairshot, that is at Visionaries Global Media, and that is obviously here on Radio Techers. Follow me on Twitter at PodfatherMags. Follow Carlos on Twitter at Kirby_Carlos. Follow the show at Five Rounds Pod. Thank you so much for your support. It means the absolute world. Thank you all for listening. And that is the end.
Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.